Welcome back. In this session, we're building Snare Snap without losing headroom in Ableton Live 12, and we're aiming straight for that jungle and old-school DNB energy. So think sharp, lively, a little dirty, but still controlled enough that your drop can breathe. The big idea here is simple. We do not want a louder snare. We want a snare that feels louder. That's a huge difference in drum and bass, especially at 160 to 175 BPM. A snare that eats too much peak level can make the whole mix feel smaller. The kick loses space, the sub gets crowded, and suddenly your master chain is doing overtime just to survive one drum hit. So let's build this the smart way, using stock Ableton devices and a session view workflow so you can test variations fast and keep the groove moving. First, start with a dry snare source that already has some attitude. Load a snare one shot into Simpler on a MIDI track, or if you want that more authentic old-school feel, resample a snare from a break and use that. That break-derived snare often gives you a slightly messy tail and a more natural personality, which sits beautifully in jungle patterns. When you load it into Simpler, keep it honest. Trim the starts of the transient hits immediately. If the sample has a long tail, shorten the release so it doesn't blur into the next hit. A good starting release might be somewhere around 50 to 150 milliseconds, depending on the sample. If your source already has the right attitude, resist the urge to overprocess right away. Now, before we add any excitement, we clean up the stuff that wastes headroom. Drop an EQ8 after Simpler. Gently high pass around 80 to 120 Hz to clear out rumble that the snare doesn't need. If the snare feels boxy or it's fighting the kick, dip a bit around 200 to 350 Hz. Usually 1 to 3 dB is enough. And if the snare is too sharp or pokey, you can tame a little around 6 to 8 kHz. Here's the teacher note. In jungle and old school DNB, you do not always want a sterile snare. A little body around 250 Hz can actually help it feel like part of a sampled break world. But if your sub is heavy and your bass line is active, keep that low mid area disciplined. That's where headroom disappears fast. Next, let's add some character with drum bus. Keep it light, maybe 5 to 15% drive, just a touch of crunch if you want extra grain, and a small transience boost, something like plus 10 to plus 30. That transient control is a big part of the snap. Keep boom off or very low for this lesson unless your snare is unusually thin. And always use the output control to level match. Don't let loudness trick you into thinking it sounds better. If the snare still needs more front-end punch, add a compressor or glue compressor after drum bus. The goal is not to smash it. We just want to tighten the front edge a little. A fast attack, a fairly short release, and only about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction is a good place to start. If you use glue compressor, soft clip mode can be really handy for a bit of extra aggression. But if the snare starts feeling flat, back off. A lot of intermediate producers overcompress here and mistake density for punch. A really useful trick is to add a tiny bit of saturator before compression. Something like 1.5 to 4 dB of drive with soft clip on can thicken the transient and make the snare read more forward without needing more fader gain. That's the kind of move that keeps your mix sound system friendly. Now for the headroom-saving move that really matters. Build parallel snap inside an audio effect rack. Group your snare chain, then create two chains. One chain is your dry main snare. Keep that one clean, with just your EQ and maybe a little saturation. The other chain is your snap layer. On the snap chain, high pass aggressively somewhere around 300 to 500 Hz, so you're only keeping the top edge of the hit. Then add a saturator or overdrive for more bite. You can even add a very short reverb, but keep it super short and very quiet. The point is not space, it's attack. This chain should be several dB quieter than the dry chain, usually around 6 to 12 dB down, and then you blend it in until the snare feels sharper without actually getting much louder. That's the magic here. You're increasing perceived punch, not peak level. That means the snare feels like it's cutting through, but your master bus isn't getting slammed every time it hits. If you want a little extra width, you can keep it only on the snap layer, and keep the body of the snare centered and mono. That's a nice modern heavy trick that still respects the low end. Now let's make this useful in session view, because in DNB the clip itself is part of the sound design. Set up a few MIDI clips on the snare track. One clip is your main drop snare. Another is a slightly brighter version for turnarounds. Another can be a shorter, tighter fill snare. And if you want, make one more that feels like a ghost hit or rim hybrid for transitions. This is where the composition side starts working with the mix side. For example, in a two-step jungle pattern, keep the snare on beats 2 and 4, then drop in a quiet ghost note just before beat four every couple of bars. That little move creates forward motion without needing a huge fill. In old school DNB, that kind of phrasing is gold. You can also use clip envelopes to add movement. Maybe a little more reverb send on the last hit of a four-bar phrase. Maybe a slight filter lift on the brighter snare clip. Maybe a velocity change on ghost notes. These tiny changes add life without forcing you to make the whole snare louder. Now let's talk gain staging, because this is where a lot of good snare design gets wrecked. After all your processing, check the output level carefully. You want the snare to feel impactful, but not to suddenly push your whole mix into clipping. If the snare gets louder after saturation or compression, pull the device output down rather than just fader riding it later. A utility at the end of the chain is perfect for clean trim control in Ableton. As a rough target, individual main snare hits might peak around -10 to -6 dBFS, depending on the rest of the mix. The exact number matters less than the relationship. Your snare should have space to hit, but the full drop still needs breathing room. In DNB, that room is what lets the sub feel massive later. And this part is crucial. Always test the snare in context. Soloing it too long is a trap. Listen with kick and sub only, then with the full drum loop, then with the bassline. If the snare feels huge in solo but disappears in the drop, the answer is usually more upper mid presence, not more low mid body. A small boost around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz can help, or you can simply lean a little harder on the parallel snap chain. If the snare is masking the sub, go back and cut more around 200 to 300 Hz and shorten the tail. In jungle and rolling DNB, the snare should feel like a statement, not a cloud. Now let's turn this into arrangement movement. In session view, think in phrases. Every 4 bars, raise the snap chain a tiny bit on the last hit. Every 8 bars, switch to the brighter snare clip for 1 bar. You can also mute the snare for half a bar before a drop return, then bring it back in hard. That kind of silence can make the return hit feel enormous. A classic old-school move is to keep the drums riding for 16 bars, strip them down for 2 bars, then bring the snare back with a slightly harder transient on the first hit. Even if the difference is only 1 or 2 dB, the arrangement makes it feel much bigger. That's the point. Contrast creates impact. If you want to push this further, use a little automation on drum bus transients, snap chain volume, or reverb send during fills. You can even automate a subtle EQ shelf on the last bar, then pull it back down. The listener may not notice the automation directly, but they will absolutely feel the lift. A few common mistakes to avoid here. First, don't make the snare louder when what you really need is sharper. Second, don't leave too much 200 to 400 Hz body in there. Third, don't overcompress the transient. Fourth, don't drench it in reverb, because long tails will blur fast DNB grooves. And fifth, don't forget to listen at low volume. If the snare only feels exciting when the monitors are loud, it probably needs better transient definition and less low mid density. For darker or heavier DNB, try this mindset. Use saturation for harmonics, not volume. A small amount of drive can make the snare read louder on smaller speakers without eating headroom. You can also split the snare into two rolls, a clean centered body layer and a high-passed crack layer. That gives you focus and aggression at the same time. One more really useful tip. Once you've got a snare chain that works, resemble it. Bounce it to audio, chop it up, and make new fill clips from it. That workflow is very DNB, and sometimes the resampled version feels more authentic than endlessly tweaking the live chain. So to recap the method, start with a strong snare source, clean it up gently, add light saturation and transient shaping, build a parallel snap layer in an audio effect rack, and then use session view clips and automation to give the snare different roles across the arrangement. Keep checking it against kick, sub, and bass. And remember, in drum and bass, the best snare is usually not the loudest one. It's the one that hits hard, stays controlled, and leaves space for the drop. Now for your practice challenge. Build 3 snare versions in session view. 1 clean main snare, 1 parallel snap version, and 1 shorter fill version. Make a simple 4-bar loop with kick, snare, and sub. Swap snare variations on bar 4 and bar 8. Then automate the snap layer so the last snare of each phrase hits a little harder. If the loop feels more exciting without the master getting louder, you're doing it right. And that's the whole game. Sharp, controlled, forward, and ready to slam in a jungle or old-school DNB mix without stealing all your headroom.